Good morning.
Good morning.
We've been in this series that we've been calling the Upside Down Kingdom series. And, you know, we have stated that the values of the kingdom of God are very different than the values of this world. And in fact, some values are just completely opposite. And so we're spending time taking a look at all these differences and to realize how easy it is for us to slowly embrace the values of this world, not realizing that it can ensnare us and it can choke out the passion that we have for God. I hope that as we are going through the series, that we are going to see with greater clarity how important it is to understand the values and the way of Jesus. And here's a question I want to ask. Are we people who truly and honestly want to live out the values of the kingdom of God? Not just hear about it, but we actually want to live out the values of the kingdom of God in our lives. If the answer is yes, then here's a follow-up question. Can we be honest enough with ourselves to say if there is a disconnect with how we want to live out the kingdom values and the way we actually live out the kingdom values? Are we honest enough to be able to see that? Are you tracking with me? This morning, I was going to share a message on a different theme. As Benji and I were talking, I had a kind of a message sort of prepared, but as I was going over my notes and studying the scriptures pertaining to this subject, I realized that we need to address a bigger problem and see a different perspective, a different point of view. And I really do think that it will make a big difference on how we live as followers of Jesus. So please track with me. And here's the problem. The problem is called the compartmentalization of our lives. Now, what would a person who knew nothing about Christianity, let's just say there's a Buddhist monk that comes, and he observes and follows the lives of Christians in America. What would he think, okay, about Christians? I think he would observe that most of them have a job that they go to 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday, right? Sometimes Saturdays also. That Christians usually worship at a service on Sundays for a couple hours. That Christians usually have a midweek meeting, sometimes a similar service like their Sunday morning services, or they go to a small group meeting where people will talk about what it means to follow Jesus, that it's a more intimate small group, and they'll learn more and more about following Jesus. They will also share their personal experiences with others and pray together. And usually, he's observing these lives, they would spend some time reading the Bible and praying at home during the week. Now, you might ask these Christians some questions. You might ask, as a follower of Jesus, are you giving, dedicating your whole life to him?
Well, yes, of course.
Why then are you working at a job that takes 40 hours of your waking hours?
Well, we have to make a living. We have to survive. We have to put food on the table. We have to pay our bills. Our jobs are a necessary part of life.
But does not this Jesus provide for your life, for your survival?
Yes, of course he does. But we have to do our part. Our part is to have a job and to make ends meet.
So then, what is Jesus' part?
Oh, well, he hopefully will provide a job for me, and hopefully he will best bless me in the job that I am in, make me successful in that job.
Well, then, why aren't you like the missionaries that you support in your church, those who work full-time at sharing the good news of Jesus with other people?
Well, they have a calling to be a missionary. I do not.
I know that these are some generalizations that may not depict your answers, but I think it is fair to say that many people might answer in a similar way. Gregory Thornberry says this: when it comes to biblical preaching and teaching, the church today has an elephant in the room problem. We spend the least amount of time addressing the very thing that people spend their waking hours doing the most, work and career. The result is that people assume, perhaps unconsciously, that the Bible doesn't address their actual lived experience. There's a disconnect because they spend most of their time. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying the elephant in the room problem is that people do not understand the role of work in the life of a follower of Jesus and how that work fits in with their calling as a follower of Jesus. I think most people would think that we have to work, we have to make a living, we have to put food on the table, we have to pay our bills, that our work is a necessary part of life. And there might be even some people who would look at it and say, work is almost a necessary evil. But here's the thing. Many people would separate the work life from the spiritual life. People will label work in the marketplace as secular work, while work in a ministry or a church as spiritual work. And as a result of this perspective, we have actually relegated people, followers of Christ, Christians, almost to a part-time status without realizing this. Think about this. If our full-time work is secular, then we relegate people to being part-time spiritual people. Hence, almost like we're saying, they're part-time Christians. And I don't think any follower of Jesus would say or admit that they are part-time Christians. But do you see this dichotomy that's there? That if their work is considered secular and following Christ is more about spiritual things, then they spend most of their time in something that is secular and not spiritual. So let me ask you this. If someone asks you, what do you do for a living? You will usually respond with what you do for full-time work, right? I don't say I'm a golfer because I golf. You usually say what you get paid for, right? If you're an engineer, a dentist, a truck driver, a hairstylist, a business person, an accountant. And if that work is relegated to being secular, then you are doing secular work. Now, someone might object to what I'm saying right now, okay? Maybe it's you, okay? Someone might object to what I'm saying and say, it's just a label, secular versus spiritual, part-time versus full-time. But let me ask you an important question here. And I want you to really think about this. If you are a follower of Jesus, do you take your calling as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, as seriously or equally to someone who does full-time Christian work, like a pastor or a missionary or a person on the church staff? Do we take that seriously, that we've been called to follow after Jesus as much as Jonas in Uruguay in Brazil? Do we take that seriously? See, do we tend to think that serious Christian work is done by those who are paid to do so? Then we see this dichotomy. I'll be honest with you, okay? Some might say that I am a part-time pastor because I work in the marketplace full-time. I get paid not from the church, but by a company. Some might say that Benji is a full-time pastor because he is paid by the church for full-time work. And don't worry, I'm not offended if you think that, okay? But I would like you to see a different perspective here. This perspective is this. Maybe our work outside of the church is meant to be spiritual. And maybe our calling has the same weight as every other Christian, even those who are paid by the church. So I want to explore two things, the role of work in the follower of Jesus, and I want to explore the calling of every follower of Jesus. Because I think that the church does not have a good theology of the role of work in our spiritual lives. And honestly, I think it can be laid upon Benji, myself, the teaching team, because we are not showing people that work can be a spiritual pursuit. Let's look at this, okay? In Genesis, I'm just going to read some. I think they might put it on the screen, but in Genesis, we see that God was active in the very beginning, the book of Genesis, which is the beginning, that God was very active in creating the heavens and the earth and the creatures of this earth, right? In Genesis chapter 1, verses 10, 12, 18, 21, 25, after God creates these things, there's a phrase that says, and God saw that it was good. And it's climaxed in verse 31, when God saw all that he made, it was very good. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 kind of captures this. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. See, God's act of creation is called work. And when his creative work was done, he declared it to be very good. Now, I want you to see something here. In Genesis chapter 2, this is what God says. God, the Lord God, took the man he created, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. In the second chapter, okay, God says he took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. God purposed man to work in the garden and to take care of it. Now, man lived in an absolute paradise with and in the presence of God. There was no sin, and yet we see that God purposed man to work. God intended for man to work. Man found joy and meaning in his work. Work was an expression of who man was. He was made in the image of God. All of this is before the fall of man, when man has sinned, when man sinned and walked away from God. This was before the fall of man, before man disobeyed God and threw this world into chaos. The entrance of sin changed work from being part of a godly fabric of shalom, this idea of God's peace and harmony, and now work would become a struggle and a toil. But that was not the way it was meant to be. Work was a part of God's world before it was tainted with sin. Work was not a consequence of sin. You get that? Work was a part of God's world before it was tainted with sin. Work was not a consequence of sin. Work was a necessary part of God's design. God intended for man to work, but to work in harmony with God's design. Think about this. Man was to be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Man was to make this world a fruitful place, a good place, to reflect God's generosity and his goodness. A world where men trusted God and lived in harmony with each other, caring for each other, to live in harmony with God's purpose. That's what God wanted from man. But then we know this world is a fallen world where man has rebelled against God and lives in defiance of him, where man is self-centered and looks out for himself, looking for how he can get ahead of the pack. The greatest problem in this world is a three-letter word called sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin keeps us from wanting to submit to him. Sin keeps us from living in relationship with him. Sin blinds us from seeing the truth about our human condition. And sin's arrogance declares its independence from God. But the beautiful story of the Bible is this. God still wants to redeem mankind, to reconcile mankind to him, to bring mankind back in harmony with him. How does God do this? Well, God takes the first step to pay the price for our sins so we can find true forgiveness. Not, you know, schmoozy forgiveness. It's true forgiveness. In Romans 5:8, it says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. He took the first step. What an amazing love, right? So how should we view work now? If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have repented and humbled yourself before God, then you want to live in alignment with God, right? So you want to view work as a place where you can reflect kingdom values in this tainted world. You want to work. View work as a place where you can reflect kingdom values in a tainted world, where you reflect God's goodness, you reflect God's generosity, where you reflect God's caring for people, where you live in harmony with God's purposes. And you know how you do this? Colossians 3:17 says this, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And in verse 23, a little bit later, it says, whatever you do, work with it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. See, God is your boss. If he is your Lord, he is your boss, right? Our motivation in life and work is to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. That motivation changes everything, right? Everything we do, we work as if Jesus were our boss. Would we want to give God our best or our leftovers? Do we want to represent God in the best possible way, or we act like we don't care? If we are working for the Lord, then our work is no longer secular, but spiritual. It's a difference. If we want to work for the Lord, then our work is no longer secular, but spiritual. Now think about this. Helping others, caring for others, encouraging others, aren't those spiritual supports, spiritual pursuits? That's what we should be doing, right? Being generous, making the workplace better, being a good coworker, a good teammate, don't those reflect the kingdom values? Then work becomes a spiritual pursuit, not just a job. And let's not kid ourselves, okay? Work can sometimes be the bearer. But work can also be good. Because each one of us has something unique to bring to the table. Let's harness our gifts, our talents, our personality, our problem-solving insights, and make the world and the workplace a better place. Our job can be a spiritual pursuit when we are aligned to God's purposes. And we no longer have to make work a secular endeavor. It can be spiritual work when God is involved in that work. I love what this vice president said, Barry Rowan. He says, I struggled for the first decade of my business career, mostly alone and in the middle of the night, to find meaning in my work, and gradually came to see that I was looking at work all wrong. I was trying to derive meaning from my work instead of bringing meaning to my work. That all pursuits that we do, everything that we do, when we do it for the Lord Jesus, then it can be spiritual. So let's take a look at what the calling of God is on our lives. I'm trying to show you that work is not a secular pursuit. It can be a spiritual pursuit when you do it as unto the Lord. So let's take a look at what the calling of God is on our lives. Luke 9:23 says this, and it repeats probably what Matthew and Mark say, the same thing. Then he said to them all, referring to the disciples and the crowds, whoever wants to be my disciple, and disciple is just a word for a follower of Jesus, okay? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. So a disciple is a follower of Jesus. That means someone who wants to do what Jesus calls them to do. One who has made Jesus the Lord of their lives. They will orient their lives to be a faithful follower of Jesus, no longer where their lives be their own, but they will deny themselves to faithfully follow Jesus. That's what a follower of Jesus is. So why would anyone want to do that? Because something new has happened in the life of a follower of Jesus. Something new has happened inside of them. They have been born again. They've entered a new relationship with God. The guilt and condemnation of sin no longer hovers over them because Jesus has paid the price for their sins. They have experienced the peace of God because they have experienced peace with God. There is reconciliation with God. So as followers of Jesus, what is their mission then? Let me share some verses here. Okay, Matthew 28 says this. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, followers of Jesus, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. So most people know this, right? It's called the Great Commission. People talk about this. This commission is given to who? It's given to followers of Jesus, his church, right? No one person can fulfill this commission, but his church can. It takes people, followers of Jesus, all the followers of Jesus, to make this happen, to make disciples in all nations. Here's another verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, if you look at those two verses, two scripture passages, okay, you can see from these two verses that Jesus wants people everywhere to be his followers, right? I mean, to the ends of the earth, right? Notice where it starts with in Acts chapter 1. It starts with Jerusalem, which was the capital city of Israel, Judea, the surrounding area, Samaria, north of Judea, and the rest of the world. God intends for his people to be his witnesses everywhere in this world. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We said earlier that God took the first step in bringing mankind to reconciliation with him. Why? Because God loves people. Even when they have turned their backs on him, even when they have spit in his face, even when they have crucified his one and only Son, God wants people to repent and turn to him. And how is God going to accomplish this? Through his church, through his followers. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are part of this commission. It's not if you're paid by the church. It's not if you're working some other job 40 hours a week. It's if you are a follower of Jesus, you are part of this commission. And think about this, okay? God wants us to go into all the world, right? Right? Did I lose you guys? What is the world that we're talking about? What is the world? The world is places where people do not know the message of Jesus and where they have not submitted to the Lordship of Christ. That's the world. Is it only foreign lands? or other countries? Of course not. There are people all around you who have not turned to Jesus. People in your neighborhood, people in your workplace, people in the same city that you live in, people in this nation. Think about this. Do missionaries go to foreign countries and speak to people in their country about the message of Christ? And then after they share that message, they just move on to somewhere else? No. Usually they will find a place to live and start a local church there that will become like a missionary outpost to reach as many people as possible. They will act as if they were ambassadors for Christ. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You are Christ's ambassadors. I am Christ's ambassador. Think about this. Do missionaries think that when they go into a place, do they think that they're going to have success, you know, just because they share the word? No. What they try to do is live in that country and display what it looks like to live as a follower of Jesus. And that life, people actually see what they're all about. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to be his witness. It isn't just for the paid people of the church. It isn't just for people who go to foreign lands. All God's people, all who follow Jesus, are to declare what God has done for them, to share the good news of Jesus. 1 Peter 2 says this, but you, referring to anybody who is a follower of Christ, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had received not had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. Tim Keller writes this, I hope that every pastor will preach regularly on how the gospel changes the way we work and sometimes the work that we do. I hope that every Christian will see the way their work connects to God's work. Imagine what it would look like if all of God's people took seriously that they are missionaries for Jesus, that they are ambassadors of Jesus. It doesn't matter if we are not paid by the church. It doesn't matter that we work in the marketplace. We are planted somewhere in this world, and wherever we are, this is our mission field. Did you know that there are other countries that are sending missionaries to America? There are other countries sending missionaries to America. Why? That they see how many people in America reject God's value. They see that there are people who have not submitted to Christ. They see that there is a harvest to be reaped. Do we see that same thing? Do we have a heart to reach people for the kingdom? Let me say this. The mission field is not about geography, but about places where people have not given their hearts to Christ. Romans 12:1 says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what God has done for you, in view of his grace, in view of his pursuit of us, in view of that, God's mercy, to offer your bodies, and really, it's your life, right? Because your body can't be separate from your life. It's offering your lives and your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. See, that God is doing something wonderful in the lives of his followers. And it's inside, and that thing that is happening on the inside is going to make its way outside. So next time, someone asks you, what do you do for a living? Try saying, I'm a full-time Christian that is paid by XYZ company to help make their company a better, more caring, and productive place to work. What do you do for a living? You know, I do think that sometimes, because if you were being paid by the church, you'd feel this obligation to give their money's worth, right? But sometimes when we're being paid by another means, we sometimes think that that is something that is not in the same realm of spirituality. But I want to say this. God intends for us to work. God intends for us to be productive. God intends for us to learn what it's like to bring the values of the kingdom of God in a place, in a marketplace that is about profits, it's about just getting ahead and everything, and bringing the kingdom of God into that place. What that is a missionary, an ambassador for Christ. I hope that each one of us sees that, that it is important what you do, that you're providing a living for your family, you're providing a living for, you're being generous to other people, you're caring, and you're trying to let his goodness be shared with other people. And if Jesus is your boss, then we have to always think how we should live out our lives that brings glory to him. Please, I know that we've been talking about this upside-down kingdom, and there's a value here that is important. But remember that God doesn't want us to compartmentalize things. He wants us to integrate everything as part of this life that serves God. And we all fall short, don't we? We all fall short, but we should be encouraging one another to do better. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. We don't always do right or do good, Lord. But when that happens, help us to learn and grow. That many times it's in the marketplace where we work that we can learn the most, because we're going through the crucible of what it's like to live out values when the values around us are different. So help us to be better. Help us to be generous. Help us to be good. Help us to make the communities we live in, the places we work, a better place. And help us to be, like Paul said, an ambassador of Christ, as if God were making his appeal to people through us. Help us to take seriously the call of God in our lives, as seriously as any other person, that we are called to fulfill God's commission that involves all of us. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.